Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, and you. We've been all over the map so far this AM. We return to college football. The top 25 has been dropped after week numero 10. Ohio State hangs on to their top spot. Indiana, A&M, Alabama, Georgia, and Oregon stayed stacked 2 through 6 behind them. Our first change is a flip-flop between Ole Miss, now at 7, Georgia Tech, now at 8. Vandy comes up a spot to number 9. BYU up a spot, Miami down a spot, both of them tied with 1,069 nice points at number 10. Notre Dame is now number 12, a spot ahead of 13 Texas Tech. They are up one spot. Notre Dame stays put at number 12. Tennessee jumps up 3 spots to number 14. Virginia up 1 to 15. Louisville up 3 spots to number 16. Cincinnati, the Bearcats at 7-1, up 4 spots now to number 17. Oklahoma, after their L2 Ole Miss, drops 5 spots down to number 18. Mizzou, after their L2 Vandy, down 4 spots to number 19. Texas gets the close win over Mississippi State, up a pair of spots to number 20. Michigan up 4 to number 21. Houston, USC, Utah, and Memphis stacked 22, 3, 4, and 5. So what do we take away from the college football weekend? Well, story number one, Brian Kelly out at LSU. LSU, of course, loses game number 3, this time at the crib at night to Texas A&M. Brian Kelly was relieved of his duties on Sunday, less than 24 hours after the L. Not a big shock in that spot. Brian Kelly won less than 71% of his games. He has zero hardware added to the trophy cabinet in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And on top of all of that, I am relatively confident that Brian Kelly is the least liked head coach in college football. Brian Kelly is a dude, and I've pointed this out before. Brian Kelly is a dude who shows a shocking ability to try to take all of the credit when things go well for himself and to spread the blame to everybody that's not him when things go poorly. He did it at Notre Dame. He left Notre Dame. He has done it since he arrived in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I have pointed out the time at Notre Dame where Brian Kelly, again, won nothing. He had the issue with the death of a student videographer at a practice. And, I mean, granted, I get why. Because there were potentially tens of millions of dollars of lawsuits. And had he come out and said, yo, that's my bad, he'd have gotten targeted for a civil suit that would have probably cost him every dollar he ever made coaching. But never an issue, never an apology, never an acknowledgement of what happened. At Notre Dame, it was always something or somebody else's fault. It was recruiting restrictions. It was grade requirements. It was all these different things that made Brian Kelly say, I can't, and I don't believe anybody else can, win a national championship at Notre Dame. Now, granted, Notre Dame has not won a national championship since Brian Kelly left. However, they've gotten closer with more regularity since Brian Kelly left and Marcus Freeman took over than they did before Brian Kelly left and before Marcus Freeman took over. He gets the Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At first, he gets there and it's the roster stinks. And then he's got good rosters and they lose. And then it was something else's fault. And it was, I mean, he literally in no less than two press conferences called guys that he recruited and he brought to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, quote, uncoachable, end quote. Well, buddy, if you brought them to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and they're uncoachable, that's also on you, my guy. That means you're recruiting or transfer portaling in uncoachable guys. You're the coach. If they're uncoachable, you went and got dudes that you, the coach, can't coach. That's on you. So it is largely unsurprising, it is largely unshocking that after the 49-25 loss where Texas A&M just absolutely kicked the crap out of the Tigers up and down the field, they decided, yeah, enough is enough. $54 million in buyout to Brian Kelly. Apparently, this is how much they wanted the guy gone. They did not even have an agreement in place with Brian Kelly about how the buyout would be structured. They just said, we'll figure it out later. Call us, because you don't work here no more. You can't come in and talk with us. You don't have a key to the office anymore.
What was Ed Orgeron's buyout?
That is a great question. I don't remember off the top of my head. I can't imagine it was $54 million.
Chip Kelly say the same thing when he
17.1 million for the record when he was fired back in 2021.
What did Orgeron say about the door? I don't remember.
I believe he said, if y'all want to pay me that much money, I'll come right back through it the other way. What he said was, if y'all want to pay me that much money, I'll come right back. Okay, unless you Tigers, go Tigers. I'll be right back. Give me a $54 million buyout. I'll be right back in there and that'll go Tigers. I believe is what he said. That's a pretty close quote. I may have mispronounced the word there, but pretty close. Not go or Tigers, though. Go Tigers. So, now we know that the college coaching carousel is spinning around at about a gazillion RPMs right now. We know that some of the jobs that are open right now include, obviously, LSU, Penn State.
What's bigger job between those two?
That is exactly the segment that I'm about to do. So I'm glad you asked the question. Because there's a lot of jobs open and a lot of jobs that we speculate will be open. We know LSU is open. We know Penn State is open. We know Florida is open. We know Oklahoma State is open. We know Virginia Tech is open. We know Arkansas is open. We know Stanford is open. We know UCLA is open. Maybe. Those are the ones that are open. We also know that there are some other schools that may be open. Florida State may be open at the end of the year. Again, Florida State owes more money to Mike Norvell than LSU owes to Brian Kelly. Because after the 2023 season, where Florida State went 13-0, won the ACC, and was not invited to the college football playoff, Alabama came a-calling. And Florida State offered Mike Norvell a fat-ass contract to keep him in Tallahassee, Florida, so he didn't bolt for Tuscaloosa, as the rumor was that he was interested in doing. I bet Florida State looks back upon that decision with not great fondness at this point, but here we are. So, the question mark was, and a lot of people said, how did Mike Norvell not get fired after the loss to Stanford? And the answer is because LSU was never going to have a problem finding $54 million for Brian Kelly. FSU right now is finding a problem finding $56 million to give to Mike Norvell to get him out of Tallahassee, Florida. They didn't get the booster response that they had hoped to generate the money necessary to fire Mike Norvell. So he is going to get to finish the season. My suspicion is after the season is over, after that buyout drops probably closer to like $48 million, I don't know the exact language or financials behind it, that FSU will pull the trigger on firing Mike Norvell. Add that to the roster of open jobs. So, if I was to say, let's rank the Power Four jobs in terms of attractiveness, because I do think it is going to be harder now than it ever has been before to take away big name coaches. And that conversation got kicked into high gear this weekend because it is not only rumored that the University of Florida's number one target is Lane Kiffin, who is currently and actively coaching the Ole Miss Running Rebels, a current and active one-loss football team who just got another ranked win under the belt and are in a prime position right now. A prime position right now to make it to the college football playoffs. But it is not just rumored that Florida wants to go get Lane Kiffin. It is now rumored that Florida is willing to offer upwards of $14-plus million annually for Lane Kiffin. It is now rumored that Florida is willing to make Lane Kiffin the highest-paid head coach in college football to get him out of Oxford, Mississippi, and bring him to Gainesville, Florida. The thing is, we just watched Indiana, and I brought this up 2 weeks ago when the signing happened, and I pointed to this moment without knowing that this moment was going to be the conversation we were having at 8:10 on October 27th. I said at the time, this one is interesting. The hiring of Cignetti is interesting because Indiana now has the third highest paid head coach in college football. Indiana has that. And if Indiana can come up with the third highest paid head coach in college football, then even teams towards the bottom of the SEC and the Big Ten likely can as well, because you've got more money than you've ever had before. Yep, $22 million going into rev share for these schools, the Big Ten and the SEC. But they're also making a lot more than they were making a number of years ago. And they will make a lot more next year than they did this year. And shocker, spoiler alert, they'll make a lot more the year after that than they make next year. So to make Kurt Cignetti, after 2 years in Bloomington, Indiana, the third highest paid head coach in college football, do you not think that if they want to do it, Ole Miss can't find Kurt Cignetti money to keep Lane Kiffin in the bank? And more importantly, if they can, what does Florida have to come off of to coax him out of Oxford, Mississippi and get him to Gainesville? Because Lane Kiffin, as he said in a presser last week, as Matt Rhule said when he got linked to the Penn State job. Now, granted, this was before Nebraska lost a real dumb game. But he said, look, I can do whatever the hell I want at Nebraska. I run this town. Now, he didn't say the college. He said, I run this town. He said, it's a town of 300,000 people, and I can, quote, do whatever I want, end quote. If Nebraska, who has been irrelevant to college football for two-plus decades now, if Nebraska is able to come off enough money that they can convince Matt Rhule to stay there and not go to Pennsylvania State University, another one of those schools that, yeah, they don't have any titles in there, but they got money, dog. If they can keep him there, do you think that Ole Miss is not willing to go, we'll give you Kurt Cignetti money plus some to stay here because we make more money than the Big Ten schools do. We got a little bit more. We'll throw it at you, Lane. And if that is the answer, if Ole Miss is willing to come off of Indiana money and pay more than they have ever paid a college football coach to coach the Ole Miss Running Rebels, do you not think that Florida, who is annually considered one of the best jobs in college football, you don't think Florida can find two-plus million more per year? My question mark is going to be, what is the cap? Is there a cap? Is there a spot where they go, Florida says, all right, tell you what, Lane, we will do $16 million annually, make you easily the number one highest paid coach. Does Ole Miss say 16-5, and we name the city after you? From now on, when people take a road trip to come play the Running Rebels of Ole Miss, they come to Kiffin, Mississippi to take on Ole Miss. I don't know.
That doesn't sound bad, actually.
It really doesn't. Yeah. It really doesn't. On top of that, just make him mayor. Just let Lane run the whole city.
What if you were one of these head coaches, where would you go?
LSU. The answer is LSU.
I think that's the answer, too.
I think it is.
I do.
And I would say that. And the reason, part of the reason I brought this up was, and because
probably Florida's second, and
I think Florida's in that mix,
and maybe Penn State third.
I would say Penn State, Florida probably tied for second for me. I can make an argument either way, and then I would say honestly, everybody else that is open right now is a distant third. Everybody else, the only school that's not open yet that I could say maybe, probably not, but maybe you could add to tier two with Penn State and Florida, maybe Florida State. But to be honest, they're going to have to put so much money into Mike Norvell, I don't know that they will be able to bid like Florida, who only had to pay Billy Napier $22 million, I think. James Franklin, $46 million. But again, the rumor mill is Adidas is paying most of that. Like, Adidas is coming off of that, which means if that's true, and to be honest with you, the further we go into the story, the more I'm believing that it is. The further we go down that road, the more I'm sitting here thinking, that means Ole Miss doesn't really have to worry about money. I mean, excuse me, Penn State doesn't have to worry about money either. They can go right back to James Franklin level money. I don't know that Florida State can. LSU, on the flip side, absolutely can. This is why they were able to pull the trigger on Brian Kelly in 17 hours versus Mike Norvell, who Florida State says, we may not win but one or two more games, maybe, but we got to let Norvell ride out the rest of this year. It is all about money. LSU has numero uno in the country caliber money and a fan base that doesn't give a damn about anything but LSU football. I have pointed this out for years. What got Brian Kelly fired is not the results. It's not the results. What got Brian Kelly fired is the fact that LSU should have a stacked roster every year because, and I don't think this is true about any other place in America. This is an elite aspect of coaching at LSU. This is why it is program number one. The money is top tier in the country. No doubt about that. The facilities are top one in the country. If they're not the best in the country, they'll make another renovation next year to get them back there. What makes LSU the number one job is kids in Louisiana are only LSU fans. That's it. Nobody is in Louisiana growing up a Bama fan. I'm from there, y'all. I can say this with certainty and authority. There are no kids that grow up in Southeast Louisiana that are interested in Alabama. It's not the case. Now, in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, maybe. Outside of Tuscaloosa, about half the fans are Auburn fans. And around Opelika, Alabama, about half the fans are Bama fans. In South Carolina, about half of your Clemson, about half of your South Carolina fans. In Virginia, Virginia Tech. In Florida, which produces more recruits, but they got three schools down there, Florida, Florida State, and Miami. And, oh, by the way, UCF and USF have both been trying to get into the game. They got as many as five schools to consider in Florida. In Louisiana, there is LSU and only LSU, which means that it's not about the five stars and the four stars. It's about the three stars you round out your roster with. So LSU does the national coaching thing or the national recruiting thing. They go pull five stars from all 50 states of the union. But after all the five and four stars are divvied up, schools have to fill out the rest of the roster with two and three star guys. And if you got to fill your roster with two and three star guys in Clemson, you're competing with South Carolina. And you're competing with Georgia that's right over the hill. And you're competing with North Carolina and Duke right up the road. And Florida, who has inroads into Carolina. And LSU, you are not competing with anybody for the two and the three-star kids around Southeast Louisiana, which is a hotbed of recruiting. They're all LSU guys. Run of the mill. You get to pick whoever you want out of those guys, which means you should have the best depth roster in football. I would say maybe Penn State is similar in that I don't think there's a lot of folks around Pennsylvania that are looking outside of Penn State, but it's also a much geographically smaller area. And Pennsylvania does not pump out the number of high school recruits that Louisiana does. Just by number. There's just not as many of them as there are in Louisiana. So, with all of that being said, Brian Kelly did not just get fired because the results weren't there, and they weren't. Brian Kelly also got fired because LSU, which has always had a stranglehold on a very good recruiting bed in Southeast Louisiana, either A, doesn't, or B, isn't taking advantage of it the way that they did when Les Miles, the hat, was there.
When I was there, I was talking about going around to high schools and go Tigers.
They took advantage of that, and they pumped out some pretty good teams. And then they learned, oh, we can use the portal for guys like Joe Burrow. We can go get those guys, and that can be our supplement. But we got enough depth guys in the state. Brian Kelly wasn't taking advantage of that. That got him canned. You add all on top of all of that, Brian Kelly was the guy that was more than happy to spread blame to everybody not named Brian Kelly, but to grab all of the credit when things went right. That's what got him fired. So, as far as the jobs that are open, I think LSU is clear and away the most attractive job in football, and they will have the money to get anybody that they want. Here's a news flash. Florida wants Lane Kiffin. Don't be shocked if LSU makes a play for Lane Kiffin, too. I think Penn State and Florida are probably tied 2 and 3 for the next most lucrative jobs out there. And here's the thing that, as of today, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Virginia Tech, Stanford, all the other schools, they're all distant last places, all of them. Florida State might join that group, too, to the point that it doesn't really matter who you guys want because your job is not worth waiting for like it is. Those schools may have to pay less money to a question mark coach and hope they hit on the next Kurt Cignetti, not be able to just go grab the next big offensive coordinator who is more than willing to hang out to wait to get Brian Kelly money at LSU. I think this whole thing's turned on its head. All right, we'll come back here in a minute. We'll get a few more thoughts on the college football weekend. John Blau joins us in about 20 minutes to talk about Clemson. Final hour of the show belongs to you on a well, actually Monday edition of the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Good morning, Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. What up, world? All right, I won't spend a ton of time on this, but I did think that it was a very interesting moment yesterday. I was watching the Carolina-Buffalo game, and I heard a few times the words, after expedited replay. I also heard that a number of times during the Saints-Buccaneers game yesterday. The ref would walk in and say, after expedited replay, the call on the field has been overturned. And it was interesting because we hadn't really, at least not heard it with such frequency.
Yeah, I noticed that yesterday, too, on several of the games I was watching. And I had it on Red Zone, and it happened a bunch on Red Zone, too. So what is allowed to have an expedited?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm glad that you asked it, because last night did Chris Collinsworth. And, of course, My dumb thing. No, that was on me. That's absolutely software not working. Let me fix that because I do have the clip. So let me change over what I need to change over because that's how live radio works. So did Chris Collinsworth. Chris? So that was a conversation that happened last night after Expedited Replay stepped in and changed a ruling on the field. It is, to me, not as complicated as Chris Collinsworth is making it sound, and I think Terry did a great job of explaining that. We heard the term expedited replay a number of times yesterday, and effectively, I think what Terry is saying there is that expedited replay is effectively a group of people, one at the stadium and one at NFL HQ in New York City, that are looking at plays. And when they watch a replay, very quick, very dirty, when they just watch the replay, if they go, no, that's obviously wrong. Like, that's obviously an incorrect call. Then they can buzz the head ref and go, hey, man, you got that one wrong. Go ahead and overturn it. If it is a replay that will take them two or three or four or five times to watch through. And again, I think that we have gotten a really interesting look. I really hope more organizations do this. But the ACC this year, to me, I thought, didn't just have a good idea, a groundbreaking and good idea, in that they now let us go behind the scenes for instant replay challenges. That is to say, they show you on your TV screen the exact same thing that the referee is seeing on the replay monitor, and you get to listen to the conversation. Hey, give me clip number 7-2. Give me this angle. What do you guys see? How about this? All right, is there that foot? Is there this hand grab or whatever? They're letting you go behind the hood, and I think that's been fantastic. So basically what Terry is saying here for the expedited replay is, there are a group of officials, two of them, one at the stadium, one in New York, that are watching every play. And when a play pops up and they watch the quick replay, if on a quick replay it is very obvious that the call was incorrect, then they'll buzz down and say overturn it. But if it is not obvious, or if they go, we could figure this out, but it's going to take another 10, 15, 20 seconds of watching multiple replays, that's on the coach to challenge. That's on the team to challenge if they want to put their replay challenge at risk to replay that in the heat of the moment. And I think that's fine because I think it walks that very thin line between those of us who want every call right and don't care if the game is slowed down 10, 12 minutes to make that happen versus the people who say, no, you can't impact the flow of the game. Don't care if you got it wrong. Don't impact the flow of the game. The game's got to flow. This is a good way to do both. If it is something that, without interrupting the flow of the game, somebody with a monitor can say, that's wrong, flip it over, and they can do that just as rapidly as getting to the next play, then expedited replay review will take care of it. But if it is something that will disrupt the flow of the game because it's going to take them 30, 45, 60 seconds to go through all the different angles and see what is going to happen and what call was wrong and right, etc., then that becomes part of the challenge system. And an NFL team and an NFL head coach will have to decide in that moment if it is worth risking their challenge and, more importantly, risking a timeout in order to challenge. I think it's a good system. I think Terry explained it very well. I understand where Collinsworth is coming from the standpoint of casual fans that are just checking in for a few minutes, a few games, probably aren't going to necessarily understand without it having explained to them, like that segment did, exactly how it works. Here's the thing. I don't care. I don't care if a Cash turns in and goes, wait a minute, why did if you care enough, it'll be explained to you and you'll get it. And if you don't care enough, you're not going to watch a game or decide not to watch a game because of the words expedited replay. That's not going to work. That's not how it works. It's a good system. I think we got to see it play out a number of times successfully across the NFL yesterday. And a ton of credit to Terry yesterday, McAuliffe, who explained it, I think, in a way that was quick and understandable within the flow of the game. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in a minute. John Blau of the Post and Courier joins us in the next segment. He'll tell us what Clemson spent the bye week doing and the expectations as they get set to take on Darian Mensah and Duke this weekend. That's next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan of State. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you on a, well, actually Monday where we react to other people's overreactions from the college and pro football weekends. The good news for the Clemson Tigers is that there's nothing really to react to, at least not in terms of competitive on the field football. The Tigers on the bye this past weekend as they get ready for Darian Mensah and the Duke Blue Devils coming up this weekend. And what feels like coming off the bye could be a statement win one way or the other. But what that statement is, let's find out. From John Blau from the Post and Courier, he covers the Clemson Tiger football team and athletic department at large for the Post and Courier. Joins us every single Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson athletics. John Blau, welcome back, my guy. Did you get a little R&R on a bye week Saturday, or were you locked in the lab getting ready for next week against the Blue Devils?
If you consider R&R kind of like half watching, also zoning out during a 12-inning fall baseball game between Clemson and Alabama, then maybe. But, you know, I think I was actually focused for about 90% of it, but it's hard to actually maintain focus for 12 straight innings. So
I
maybe
respect
there was some ordinary there. Yeah.
Even as a baseball guy, I get it. I understand it. I respect it. John Blau for the Post and Courier. Let's start with this, John. Developments, news, information, details, spill the tea. What was the bye week for the Clemson football team? We know what the season is. We know where Dabo's been. We know where the coaching staff is. We know where the players are. Disappointed with what the year has been. But I know at points like this in years gone by, this has been a spot where Dabo Swinney would grab a mic and say, it's a new season. It's an opportunity to start a new sentence, start a new chapter, whatever phrase you want to use. Did we have anything that jumped off the page of the bye week, or are we keeping it quiet and close to the vest until the Blue Devils on Saturday?
Yeah, it was a pretty quiet bye week. I don't really remember anything all that shocking from what we heard on Tuesday from the players. We talked to Tom Allen. I mean, that was interesting in terms of, you know, the fact that, you know, maybe he doesn't have all the pieces he needs, or maybe that was 2 weeks ago. Actually, I'm forgetting that. I think that was 2 weeks ago. But yeah, we talked to some players. Wasn't anything all that shocking. But yeah, it's been relatively quiet. We'll hear from Dabo today when he has his radio show At 8 p.m., we'll probably hear, like you said, some of those phrases in terms of new season, see what we can do with the rest of the season. Rear view mirror and all that. We're not looking at it. Windshield mentality. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of those quotes, but I'm sure that, in the building, there's been more said in terms of the reset and what they're trying to accomplish. It's more pride than anything at this point, because obviously, the ACC title picture, you're pretty much out of it. Not making the playoff. It's just about trying to make a bowl game at this point. So we'll see if they can focus up and make that happen.
So what is your expectation? Now we'll talk about the X's and O's. We'll talk about the game about to face number two in a string of, I think, like six teams consecutively with mobile quarterbacks that we've seen that present a problem for Clemson. We'll get into all that in a few minutes. But what are your expectations for this weekend against the Duke Blue Devils?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because I think the secondary has been one of the biggest issues Clemson's had in their entire team. And you're about to play a quarterback who has 2,200 passing yards. Is the leading passer in the ACC. So I think the last time out, he threw for 373, in a loss. So, he's got to get his yards. It's just about kind of when he gets them. And are you as an offense able to, score enough back to be able to, not make this SMU all over again. Obviously, the big question is whether Kate Klubnik is going to be available. I know he gave a couple of interviews to national outlets this past week, talked about he's hoping to be back soon, but does soon mean this weekend, or do we see another, game with Christopher Vezina at quarterback? And so, Vezina was pretty good in that second half against SMU, not very good in that first half. And they got behind, and it was an uphill climb that they couldn't make it. So, is the secondary going to be ready? Because obviously Darian Mensah is a guy who can really single around. Is the offense going to be ready to be able to sort of match what Duke's going to be able to do this weekend?
That is an interesting thought, Chris Vezina, Cade Klubnik. The return to the airwaves last Monday after the L to SMU, the war cry from a lot of folks kind of was, John Blau, we can't blame that on Chris Vezina. Like, we can't play. He played about as well as we would have expected Cade Klubnik to have played in that spot. The point I made was kind of like, we don't know that, right? Like, maybe that was another game like UNC, like BC, where against maybe the worst passing defense in the ACC, maybe that was a Cade Klubnik 400-yard, three-touchdown game. We can't know. We won't know. But was there enough out of Christopher Vezina that when you add it into the context of a 4-3 season, where obviously, you want to write the next chapter and have a great back half of the year, but if you're Dabo Swinney, I think you do have to be looking forward to and concerned about 2026. Is there a possibility that either Christopher Vezina could take the starting role? Is there a possibility that Kate Klubnik is on a shorter leash moving forward because Vezina could get more snaps? Like, has there been any conversation about that at all outwardly that would give us an indication either way?
Yeah, we haven't heard much outwardly. Again, we got the radio show tonight. Maybe you'll get a text question from a fan about that. We'll obviously be able to ask maybe more questions tomorrow of Dabo about that. But I don't think necessarily, this is just me talking, that it would be bad for Clemson to get another start from Chris Vezina. Because, again, that was a really nice effort against SMU. It was 317 yards. But, SMU, I think, on average, was giving up 316. So that's normal for any quarterback against SMU. So you would like to see Vezina maybe play a pass defense, which I don't know if Duke's got the greatest pass defense in college football. It's pretty good, and to see him against them, and get a better gauge of kind of where he's at and where you're at with the quarterback position going into next year. I'm sure really it's going to just depend on the health of Kate Klubnik's ankle. Because you want to win this game, you want to put yourself in the best chance or best position to win this game so you can get back to 500 and have a chance to salvage the rest of the season. So I'm sure, Cade gave it everything he had the last time out and, even had some warm-up throws but didn't look very comfortable. Maybe, a couple weeks later he's ready to go and he'll do the same and feel good enough. But at the end of the day, I think unless he's like absolutely 100%, I think you might want to let Vezina get another shot out there to see what you have.
I think that's fair. Have we heard anything about Klubnik's ankle that would give us any indication about his availability?
We have not. Again, Cade gave some interviews last week, said he's hoping to be back soon. But that's not like I'm going to be back next game. I'm going to be back, now. We haven't heard that, but again, we'll probably get more insight in terms of how much he's practicing, if he's able to practice this week, or if it's going to be another situation like the last game where, you know, he was kind of held out mostly with the trainers, hoping maybe to get back into practice later in the week, and that never really happened. So we'll see where he's at as they start the week this time.
John Blau of the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate does so every Monday at 8:40. So now let's get into, John Blau, the X's and O's of this game. Again, the key for me, it has been the last couple of games. It will be for the duration of the season. It's about quarterbacks. It's about quarterbacks that are able to use athleticism to get around, to move a little bit. They're not going to get pinned in easily by the front seven. It's Mensah now. It's Castellanos down the road. It's Lenora Sellers at the end of the year. From what you have seen against quarterbacks like Kevin Jennings against SMU 2 weekends ago, what do you believe the defense against this Duke team, a Duke team that has been getting better week by week, a Duke team that is 3-1 in conference? They've lost some games that aren't necessarily all that impressive, a loss to Tulane, but the two games they did lose, one was at the time, very impressive Illinois team ranked top 11, and then they lost to a very good Georgia Tech team at their house. It's a beatable team, but you do kind of have to play fundamentally sound defense to stop Darian Mensah. What do you think is the mode of attack? Are we going to see a very aggressive Tom Allen defense, or will this be one that you just play fundamentally and hope Duke is Duke again?
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to, again, what I thought was last week, but it was actually 2 weeks ago with Tom Allen, where he was talking about, you know, I think somebody asked him very directly, you know, does the ability to play man coverage affect how much pressure you can bring? And he was very honest and said, yeah, no, that's a reality, you know, and I don't think Clemson's brought as much pressure as Tom Allen would like, because he hasn't been able to trust his defensive backs to play man coverage and to win. And so I hate to say it, but, you know, it's been kind of a bend don't break defense for Tom Allen most this year. I think that's probably what you're going to look at in terms of just, you know, playing the best coverage you can to hopefully not get burnt over the top, not have those huge coverage busts that they've had in previous weeks. Obviously, in an ideal world, yeah, you bring some pressure, you get in Darian Mensah's face, you move him off the spot, you make him uncomfortable. But you're going to have to get that probably with the front four. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot on Jaheim Lawson and, Will Hill, TJ Parker, and all those guys to get some pressure with the front four, so you don't have to bring a ton as far as the second and third level there. And so, I think obviously you want to bring pressure. I don't know how much you can just because of where you're at right now. I don't know if some of those problems get fixed until the off season in terms of the secondary.
I think that's fair. So with that being said, and I hate to ask, so I'll make it the second to last question, not the last question, John Blau. What is the reaction? What are the consequences? What is the feeling, whatever you want to dress it up as? What are the thoughts around this football program on Monday if the Duke Blue Devils, again, not a bad football team, but certainly not a power team right now. What is the reaction and what is the sentiment if the Duke Blue Devils do win this football game?
I mean, I know what the outside reaction is going to be. It's going to be, you know, obviously a lot more anxiety, upset. I think that will be 6 straight losses at home to power conference opponents, which, you know, I think that is the longest streak. It will match the streak from 1970 to 71. So, yeah, obviously a lot of upset. But as far as inside the building, I've never seen Clemson quit completely. You know, I think they're not obviously playing well, and I think there's a lot of frustration about that in the building. But, you know, at least if you give Dabo Sweeney's, you know, program some credit, they don't ever seem to quit completely. So I don't know if it changes anything. I don't know if that is the final, you know, straw that breaks the camel's back, and you start to see some guys kind of, you know, mentally give in as far as, you know, now we got to play Florida State, we got to play a Louisville on the road, we got to, you know, all that. Maybe there's some temptation there, but at the end of the day, I don't really think that's the case. I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, guys with pride in that building. So I think if they lose, it's going to be the same thing. They're going to go to try to pick back up and try to win the next game. But obviously on the outside, I know that it will get even more chaotic. And I say that sometimes I think to myself, I don't know, maybe it won't. Maybe the fans have kind of come to accept what this season is. But, otherwise it will just continue to be a lot of a negative regardless, I guess.
I'm glad you're there, John Blau, because that's exactly the type of things that keeps guys like me employed on the radio. John Blau for the Post and Courier here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So with all of that being said, John Blau, with what we've seen out of the Blue Devils, with the bye week for Clemson, the opportunity to maybe get right, your prediction for this game?
Without knowing who's the quarterback, let's say 30, Duke 30, Clemson 27 right now. That's what I'd predict just because I don't know who's a quarterback for Clemson. And again, the defense for Clemson has just been so bad on the back end. It could flip. I mean, again, it feels like maybe you have, return. What do you call that? Obviously things go one way. They flip back to the norm at some point in time. I don't know if I can imagine six straight losses to power conference opponents. So maybe Clemson does finally turn around and play well at home. But right now I'd have to pick a Duke win, I think.
Fair enough. John Blau from the Post and Courier joins us every Thursday at 8:40 to talk Clemson athletics. My man, appreciate it as always. Next week's conversation could be very interesting one way or the other. Brother, look forward to it.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau, Post and Courier. Appreciate his time every Monday morning at 8:40 a.m. When we come back in the final hour of the show, I have a few more things that I want to get to. Quick mention of the Charlotte Hornets. Another good win. Want to talk about what they look like because, boy, howdy, I like the direction they're going. The NCAA just lost $18 million in a lawsuit. What does it say about their future? I will share that with for you in the next hour of the show. And I would like to give a pat on the back to Justin Fields. I'll tell you why coming up. All of that in the next hour of the show. But before we get to any of that, ladies and gentlemen, this is a championship caliber sports flash.
Or an example of playing hurt. The Carolina Panthers' win streak ended in a brutal fashion, a 40-9 loss to the Bills. Andy Dalton replaced the injured Bryce Young, going 15 of 24 for 175 yards and one pick. Josh Allen attempted just 19 passes, completing a dozen for 163 yards and one touchdown. The day belonged to James Cook, who ran 19 times for 216 yards and two touchdowns in the win. That's good. A lot. The new AP poll is out, and Ohio State stays at number one. Indiana is at two. Texas A&M stays at three. Alabama, Georgia, and Oregon all remain in spots 4 through 6, followed by Ole Miss, Georgia Tech, and Vanderbilt at 7 through 9. BYU and Miami are tied at 10, one spot ahead of Notre Dame. And LSU has fired head coach Brian Kelly, electing to pay him his $54 million in buyout money. The Tigers lost to Texas A&M on Saturday, LSU's third loss this season, and that will get you fired.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.